When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Penn Sunday School, and to our listening ears, all nature sings and round us spins the music. Ahem.
Here we go.
Penn Sunday School.
Welcome to Penn Sunday School, broadcasting live from Show Creator Studio South. Today it's me, Pip the Red Dragon, filling in for Matt Donnelly. And today, we're going to be talking about things that hopefully we haven't talked about before. So here we go, preaching love, it's Penn Jillette.
Brought to you by Masterclass. Yeah, this is Penn Sunday School, brought to you by Masterclass. I'm preaching the love. And if you go to, we'll talk about this more later, but if you go to masterclass.com/Penn, you can get 15% off at masterclass.com/Penn. That is lifelong learning. I missed two masterclasses. How are you, my dear friend, Mr. Piff?
I'm very good. Now, listen, we should tell the listener that a couple of weeks ago we did a podcast, right, which has not... It's been banked. It's in the vault. It's to be released. And I have a long list of running subjects.
You're going to build on it.
I'm building. That's it. That's what I'm doing. I'm ramping up.
You're building, ramping up.
After the over the past, what is it, 8 years? I have known you've been on this podcast. It's all a very slow ramp up into something spectacular. In the year 2043, I'm going to finally peak.
Good, good, good. I think I'll be dead then, but you'll pay it off.
Yeah, it's got, the podcast is going to be a shorter, and it will be still sponsored by Masterclass. We're going to keep that going, and you have been replaced by one of those nodding woodpeckers.
That's not a woodpecker.
What, are you kidding?
It's a happy bird. Okay. The one that drinks the water?
Is that, how's it not a woodpecker?
It's not a woodpecker. There's no wood. It's water. It's not a water pecker.
It's a wood, what?
It is a happy bird.
It's not a real bird.
It's what, no, but that's what it says on the box.
It's a happy woodpecker.
I have a lot of them. One of them given to me by you.
Yeah.
It's not a woodpecker. Woodpecker never enters into it.
Does it say this is not a woodpecker? Does it say happy bird, brackets, not a woodpecker?
No, but
does it look like a woodpecker?
No, not in the least.
Are you kidding me?
Not at all.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
It's got a woodpecker beak.
No, it doesn't. It's not sharp. It has more of a duck beak.
It does not have a... What?
Yes.
Are we thinking about the same thing?
I have many more of them than you do.
What do you call that thing? This is the Mandela effect. That's what this is. No. The woodpecker, they got the canonical...
It's canonical, but it's very sharp.
Yes, for digging into wood.
Right. This is digging into water. You don't need that sharp for water.
But what, see, your woodpecker doesn't have a sharp beak?
It's not a woodpecker. My happy bird does not have a particularly sharp beak.
Listen. Do this for me. Just do this for me, right?
Okay.
When you go home, just grow a small tree, desk size, okay, and leave it next to the water.
You mean a bonsai tree?
Yes, grow a bonsai tree, leave it next to the water, okay, and just give your happy bird the choice.
Okay.
I'm just thinking your happy bird could be happier.
I want to tell you something, Piff. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Well, if you're not willing to explore the boundaries of science, then why are we even here?
I'm not willing to.
Okay, well.
No. I'm not willing to explore that boundary of science, no. Emily just sent a picture of my actual happy bird.
Oh, good.
It's on your phone. Okay, you can see it's not pointed.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, thanks. That's all we needed.
No, now, I think often I come on here, often, and I drill a point home until I extract some sort of admission of guilt from you. And on this occasion, this is a beak. I'd like to confirm this is the Mandela effect. I was living in an alternate reality where all the happy birds are woodpeckers, but I've apparently crossed over into your reality.
Good, thank you.
Where there are the beaks and top hats.
Yeah.
It's not a woodpecker at all.
Woodpeckers don't wear top hats.
I'm looking at the evidence, and I can confirm It's they've got boots on. When was the last time you saw woodpecker with boots on?
And a top hat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Even Woody Woodpecker doesn't have a top hat, I don't think.
No. All right. Well, there we go.
You know, woodpeckers have to have specially designed skulls with shock absorbers so they can peck into the wood.
Especially, who's designing woodpecker skulls?
Designed is wrong. I used the wrong word.
Are you now a proponent of, what do you call it, intelligent design?
Yeah.
Is that what you just switched over to?
I did, but I was mistaken. What I really mean is they have evolved a remarkable system for not getting concussions.
God, it must have sucked to be the first few woodpeckers out of the box. You're like, all right, what's my purpose in life? You hit the pet wood, buddy. All right, great. There's whatever. Oh, God. Hang on a second. That wood's pretty solid, isn't it?
Yeah,
but you just got, that's all you do. So if you could just get back to pecking it. Oh, no problem. I'll give it a second. Oh, God. Oh, that really, my head.
They are they are very loud.
They're the NFL players of the animal kingdom.
They are.
Yeah. They're out there going, listen, like a lot of our woodpeckers, we're getting like long-term concussion from pecking wood. And you know what science's answer is? Just evolve, bitch.
Evolve, bitch.
Yeah.
Which is what a football player should be doing.
Come back to me in 2 million years.
Yeah.
How old are woodpeckers? Are they 2 million years?
Let me see.
I was brought up not believing in evolution, so I didn't really understand it.
Birds go back really long ways because they're closely related to the dinosaurs.
Right.
But we'll give them 1 million years at least.
You think you've had woodpeckers for 1 million years?
Yeah.
Because we haven't had us for a long time.
What are you saying now? 200,000 years?
I was going to say more like, you know, the Bible starts at what, minus 6,000 ish?
8,000.
8,000. So we've had ours for like 10,000 years. We've been around doing stuff.
Why'd you add that 2,000?
Because minus 6,000. Oh, yeah.
8,000.
Wait, yeah, minus 6,000 plus 2,000 plus a secret 2,000.
The crazy people you used to be
believe
the earth is 8,000 years old.
Yeah.
About.
It's very difficult because it's like when you're trying to work out what a billion is.
No idea. No way to do it.
Turns out it's a lot more than a million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a little bit more. It's a lot more. And 8,000 is a lot less. A lot less than a million.
A lot less, yeah.
But all of humanity goes into that 8,000.
What is it? You can count to a million 24 hours a day in 34 days.
Right.
And a billion is like a lifetime.
Yeah, there's something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably got it on my phone, actually. Do you want me to look it up and see?
You want to find out?
Yeah, I see. Although I do have it.
Between a million and a billion?
Yeah.
And woodpeckers?
Woodpeckers, you're correct, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. But only on the
14 million on woodpeckers. Yeah,
in money, what?
What's that? What's that?
Ready, 14 Rich? Million on woodpeckers.
14 million.
Years?
Yes.
What?
14 million.
What? Really?
So first, it was the first million. Was a lot of headaches for
woodpeckers.
Yeah, they sucked.
Yeah, that was a lot of aspirin.
Yeah.
That's what evolved the aspirin.
Yeah, the aspirin bird. They were pecking the wood of the, what is it, the willow tree? What gives us aspirin, Reddy?
I don't know.
It's a certain kind of willow tree that we get aspirin from.
They were pecking that and they were, you had two controlled sets,
mm-hmm.
right? Because this is how you do science. I've come on this morning, and apparently I'm very knowledgeable about science today.
Yes, you are.
So you have set A, woodpeckers, mm-hmm. just banging on any kind of wood.
Mm-hmm. Then the ones that bang on the, what is it? What kind of willow is it?
Willow tree bark.
What's that?
Willow tree bark.
Willow tree bark.
They were banging the willow tree bark.
Yeah.
Which is the beginning of a blues song.
They were banging the willow tree bark. They were headache free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had to move over to other wood.
Why?
Because they evolved. So they get, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea?
Oh, you're saying that they evolved on, that would be good. That would be good if it worked. You're saying they evolved on the willow tree bark.
Yeah, and then they said, we could branch out. Let's do like an hour of oak tree, come back to the willow tree.
Yeah, and they went,
did you say the tongue thing yet?
What's
the tongue thing?
Their tongue retracts around their brain.
Is that what happens?
What? Yeah,
as they peck, their tongue retracts around their brain and gives them a cushion.
That's not the easiest way around. It's got to be.
Yeah, evolution does not do the easiest way.
Yeah, look at the giraffe neck. It's crazy.
This is it. This is the crazy one. You ready?
Yeah.
1 million seconds is 12 days.
Yeah.
1 billion seconds is 31 years.
Right.
That's crazy. A million seconds, 12 days, a billion, 31 years.
Yeah.
That is much bigger.
Yeah, billion's a lot. So, Piff.
Yes.
About 1,000 times.
We were at the...
So it's about 1,000 times.
Is that what 12 times, 12 days times 1,000?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking British or whether you're talking American. Billions are different in Britain.
Why?
Britons are, Britain is a factor of 10 lower on billion.
What have I been doing all my life?
Now you're American.
I just feel like, is this what it is? I just became American like a week ago.
Congratulations.
And I seem to have lost quite a lot of my general knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Americans are stupid. Fat, stupid, and rich. That's what Americans are.
I used to come on this podcast knowing things.
Yeah.
Being able to.
Jonathan Ross,
yeah.
A country of your previous country, England, did a series on Americans called Stupid, Fat, and Rich. He did one special on each.
Oh. So now I'm stupid?
I'm definitely fat.
And we were just talking about this before the show began. You've lost. We're both trying to lose weight at the moment.
I've lost 14 pounds.
In?
About 2.5 weeks.
So you're on almost...
17 days.
Almost a pound a day.
Almost, but not quite. No. I did a pound a day when I did my... lost 120. But now I'm just trying to lose like 30 or 40. That's easy.
Oh, man. I've been trying to lose 30 for ages.
Yeah, well, just do it. Eat what I eat and you will lose the weight.
Here's the math I don't understand. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You take me, you put me on a scale.
Mm-hmm.
You hand me a donut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I weigh me plus donut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I get off the scale. I eat that donut.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I weigh me plus 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the donut doesn't weigh 4 pounds.
I'm saying, what kind of magic is this?
The magic is that it changes... the retention of water, it also changes the way the other food is processed because that food fills up and then the other food goes to fat as well.
So it's like
just fucking eat vegetables and fruit, stay away from the fucking donuts, don't eat fucking chicken, and you will be a slim dragon.
So what you're saying is that donut is a magic food.
No, it's not what I said. What? That's what you said.
So your exact words were.
No.
So it binds all the other food and makes it all just stay in my...
It fucks up everything, yeah.
But they're so good.
Yeah, but not if you don't eat them for like a month. The desire goes away.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've noticed that, actually. Yeah. I've been eating a lot better. But I have to get chicken now?
Yes.
You know what I've got to do is I've got to read these. There's a book by Jonathan Safran Foer. Called
You Don't Need
any, Don't Eat Meat, It's Bad or something. Or
you don't need any new information.
Oh gosh, meat is terrible.
Meat is terrible. Fish is terrible. Vegetables are good. Eat properly. My wife cooks perfect food. I bring it to you.
You bring it to me.
You
and I
eat it.
And yeah. I've had nothing but perfect days since I've been doing that. But we've got there's a big dark period in this.
What's that?
Because Monday through Friday
Mm-hmm.
I do shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You do shows Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can't pick up any food during that time.
But some of the recipes, not the real fancy stuff my wife cooks, because she's a genius.
What on earth was that pot roast I had the other day?
Wasn't that fabulous?
I'm pretty sure she's been lying to us, and that was just a pot roast.
Marble meat.
What's marble meat?
Marble meat is this company that's making meat that's not like impossible stuff, that they don't care about health. It's high fiber, high protein, and very tasty.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's also wicked expensive, but I'm paying for it. Don't you worry about it. Anyway, some of Jason's recipes are very, very easy. You can do them. You know why I know that? Because I could do them. What about Leafside?
Leafside?
Leafside is a company that has food.
Yes, I tried
it's
that.
It's perfect for you.
I tried that. For some reason, this food does not agree with me.
I see. We'll try a different kind of Leafside. There are many kinds. Many kinds.
Yeah, there was one, but it was all chicken.
No, it wasn't chicken.
No, it was. I'm talking about the one that I found.
There's no chicken in Leafside.
No, not the Leafside one. Forget the Leafside one.
Just the Leafside. Remember the Leafside one.
No, I tried the Leafside one, and it disagreed with me.
Right, but there's not one Leafside.
I tried 50. All of the Leafsides.
You tried all of them?
Well, maybe not all of them, a lot of them.
Exactly. Shut up. Now, what have you been doing lately, Piff?
It's been a little depressing. Would you like to hear?
Yeah.
Well, we want to do a different show on the road than we do in Vegas.
Sure.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do all different?
No. Probably about 3/4 different.
Right, because you got like things that people want to see the hits as well when they come to see you.
Well, yeah, but we try to do a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to do.
So, for the past couple of years, I've been working on a show.
Mm-hmm. Is this Epic Hunt?
No, it's not Epic Hunt. Piff the Magic Dragon Epic Hunt is yet to be...
That's mentioned in my book Random, you know.
Yeah, I think I did know that, yeah. Nobody has jumped at the chance to promote a tour called Epic Hunt, unfortunately. That'll be me, like, will be the poster would be me, like Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a little whip and things. Mr. Piffles would be a horse or something, I don't know. I haven't really thought it through, but that would be the poster for that.
So you think about posters, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought about a poster in my life.
Well, you spend your time thinking about content of the show. Is that what you do?
I do think about that a lot, yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of free time because just ignoring that side of the business. So I had this show, right?
Yeah.
And the premise of the show was, my name's Piff the Magic Dragon, and tonight I'm here to prove two things. Number one, I'm magic. Number two, I'm a dragon.
Yep.
It's a good concept, right?
Yeah, brilliant.
You first 5 minutes of the show, you're like, all right, I'm ready for this. And we start the show with just a very quick trick involving a tiny deck of playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
And Jade.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody chooses a card, and we put the tiny deck of cards on the stage. Jade comes out, does jump splits, the card goes on a magical journey, and she spits out of her mouth. That's the first trick in the show. Okay? Gets everyone on board. After that, I say, hey, I'm a magic dragon, I'm going to do some magic, and prove I'm a dragon. So then, I have to find a princess, okay? Mm-hmm. Now remember, I'm a dragon, so this all makes sense.
Yeah.
And we do a game called Dragon Princess Knight. It's mm-hmm. like paper, so what do you call it? Rochambeau.
You're talking about Rochambeau.
Yes.
Which is also called rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, but you call it
Rochambeau.
Rochambeau, yes. Why'd you call it that?
No one knows. I was reading about this a little while ago. Some of them think it comes from the original Japanese, and it's a mispronunciation because that's where the game starts in Japan.
Right.
Other people think it's named after somebody named Rochambeau, which there's no truth to whatsoever. And it's just one of those things that people don't know. But rock, paper, scissors will do.
Only the woodpeckers know.
Only the 14 million years. God, imagine you've been banging your head against the tree.
If you had 14 million years, you could learn to wrap your tongue around your brain.
What do they say? You've been banging your head against this wall for the last 14 million years. Woodpecker's like, yeah, tell me about it. I would like a glass of water, but apparently I've got the wrong shaped beak.
Exactly.
So I got this game called Dragon Princess Knight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knights slay dragons because they're dicks. Dragons kidnap princesses, which is not actually true. What happens is the princess comes over and she's having such a good time she doesn't want to leave.
Uh-huh.
And then princesses ruin knights. And then we show a picture of Harry and Meghan.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Big laugh, sets up the show, and we play this game.
Now, do you play it with your hands? Because I'm dying to know what the symbol for princess is.
It's like a crown. They put in a crown on their head.
With your hands?
No,
Why don't you do scissors like the spread legs of a princess?
Right.
Right? And like the knight would be the closed gauntlet of the knight, so that would be like the rock.
Yeah.
And the dragon could be flat like a dragon spitting fire. So you could do rock, paper, scissors.
Did you just say flat like a dragon spitting fire?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing.
I know, but I just thought if I went over it quickly, they wouldn't know.
No, I thought that's what you thought. But earlier in the day, I called your happy bird a woodpecker and had to give a formal apology
mm-hmm.
and renounce my new citizenship because of the error of my ways. So we've got these flat dragons.
But let's just say, we believe that the gauntlet and the spread legs. We're okay for that. So all we got to do is find a way to justify paper as a dragon.
Yeah, but you could have like the fist being like the princess's ring.
I like the spread legs of a princess.
The scissors
better.
Could be like a knight because they've got a sword, which is like half a scissor.
Don't you like the spread legs of a princess?
Well, yeah, okay, I mean, I guess it works fine.
Yeah.
I had a like, well, anyway, it doesn't matter, right? Anyway, let's just focus.
Okay.
Okay, so I do this game, okay, and I set up princesses, ruined knights. It's going to be important later on. So we find ourselves a princess. Out of four, we have four people play the game, and they go down to one. That princess wins. Then I do a magic trick where I've missed out a whole section already. I was trying to be careful about.
Are you doing this show or are you just thinking about this?
No,
show?
No. This is what I'm doing.
Okay.
This is what I'm doing. Right. I've missed out a whole section.
Okay.
Right. So I say the different. So I'm a magic dragon. I'm going to prove I'm magic and a dragon. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Now. Before I get to Dragon Princess Knight, I do a trick called Lucky Dragon, where I take a coin and I toss this coin multiple times.
Have I ever heard of this trick?
Listen, we've already established the fact that I've come into this reality late.
Okay.
So maybe in this reality, yes, you taught me over a period of many hours how to do this trick.
Okay.
Right? So I'm the luckiest dragon there's ever been, but we've got to figure out the difference between luck and magic. So we toss a coin over 8 or 9 attempts, which would, by the way, which if I'd have been left to my own devices to figure this trick out, would have been at least 15 attempts.
Yes, I helped you with that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we get down to one person, and they're on stage, and they open a piece of paper, and there is a caricature of their face.
Yep.
Because I'm the luckiest dragon there's ever been.
Good.
Bang. That makes sense, right?
Sure does.
Sure does, right? So then I say, all right, seeing as you came on stage, I'm going to give you 3 prizes.
We've written, you know, over 180 tricks. So you can just take them, run amok.
You may regret saying that because honestly, it's getting desperate at this point. That when my tale of woe is finished, then you will be calling up Lovick to get him to hand me the finished copies of the book as soon as they come out.
We are writing a book with every one of our tricks and how it's done in it.
Yeah. And also, you and I were texting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I should have probably asked you about this, but I didn't. So I thought we'd be fine. Let's see if it's fine. Let's find out. love it. Because I said, you know, like, oh, the book was really helpful. But also, Penn and I were going back and forth on the text, and that was really helpful. And he's like, oh, can I have a look at that text conversation? And I was like, yeah, boom. There's a whole text conversation. There's everything that we said. That was fine, right?
Right. You're not sending him the copies of our discussions on drug trafficking, right?
No, and I didn't text what we were wearing while we were having those conversations.
Right.
So I believe it's fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyway, so I think I helped the book.
Good.
So we do this.
So
right?
you're thinking that you wrote part of the book because you sent what I wrote to Handsome Jack. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think I should at least get a special credit. Or
special credit for taking what I wrote and sending it to Handsome Jack.
Yeah.
Good.
The way you say it, it's like there's something wrong with it. But anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
For clarification for the audience, yeah. Lovick is a code word for Handsome Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you call him Handsome Jack, right?
I call him Handsome Jack, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I call you Piff. I don't call you Mr. Vanderput.
Well, the problem is he edited my book as Lovick.
Oh.
He didn't edit my book as Handsome Jack.
He will edit our book as Handsome Jack.
Will he?
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be able to tell.
Or he'll be unemployed. What's that?
We may not be able to tell.
Yeah. Go on. So now you're the luckiest dragon. You've proven that.
So I continue to prove it by a brand new routine we made up,
mm-hmm.
right? I've got a mouse.
Yep.
And a toilet roll.
Yep.
And one side dangles the mouse. I'm holding the toilet roll. And the other side has 4 tails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to guess. You have to pull the tail out. And if you are correct, if you pull the correct mouse tail, then you win all the prizes.
Now, weren't you going to do this with tampons?
I was going to do this with tampons until I was brutally overrided by everyone in my crew.
I see.
I was going to paint the tampon like a mouse,
mm-hmm.
and then give it a little mousy tampon ears.
Yeah.
But I got overridden.
Who told you no?
Everyone named them and they told me no. Just named them. They said no.
Okay. What did Glenn say?
I didn't ask Glenn.
Okay.
But the fact that I didn't ask Glenn is telling enough. You don't need to ask Glenn everything, do you?
No, some things you can picture asking them.
Exactly.
Glenn.
You can just think about that and save yourself the phone call.
Yeah.
So I have this mouse, and there are three prizes. Prize number one, a cashier's check of every single dollar I've earned since I was on America's Got Talent.
That's a lot of money, because you're rich.
I'm rich. I'm American.
Fat and stupid.
Fat, stupid, and rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, as this podcast is going to prove by the end of it. Uh-huh. We've already proven stupid and fat, right?
Uh-huh.
We just got to prove rich.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. So the first prize is that. Second prize is an action figure from a game yet to be released.
Okay. If you're going to be American, I cannot abide you saying figure.
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 Figure. Action what? Figure.
Well, we're saying the same thing. Figure.
No, you're saying figure.
Figure.
Action figure.
Where's the way?
Figure. Action figure.
Figure.
U-R-E. Figure.
Figure.
Not figure. Figure.
Figure.
Figure.
Figure.
Go on. What an action figure.
An action toy.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. And so it's like, imagine having like the first Luke Skywalker. That's what I'm giving you the chance to have here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the final one is, this is...
What's the action toy of?
It's a secret until the end of the show.
I see.
Okay. And the final one, and this is a Penn Jillette classic, which is not in the Penn and Teller show. Mm-hmm. It's only in the Piff the Man and Dragon show. The final one is a recipe for their favorite cake.
Right.
So I say, hey, buddy, what's your favorite cake? And you say?
Vegan angel food.
What?
Vegan devil's food.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just saying that, right?
No, vegan's devil's food cake.
Ask me what my favorite cake is.
What's your favorite
vegan
cake?
Vegan devil food cake.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you make yours?
Well, I have someone else make
it. How do they make it?
I think they make it with, you know, stuff that makes
devil's food. Just name a few ingredients.
I would say they have egg substitute.
Egg substitute, obviously. Doesn't even go to that saying, but you said it. All right, yeah.
And some sort of flour.
Flour, yeah.
There'll be some sort of sugar.
Sure.
Probably vanilla.
Yeah.
And there would be some chocolate, probably dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it?
Probably
that's
some other
not
stuff.
It.
No, that's not
it. That is a basic bitch vegan devil food cake.
Well, you want basic. That's what makes things good.
No, that is the... No, you want a deluxe Piff the Magic Dragon.
What do you want to put in there? Tampons?
Well, that obviously, yeah. You don't put tampons in your cake?
I don't.
So at this point... I then start collecting other ingredients from the audience, such as tampons. Mm-hmm. I go into and say, look, Steve, whatever your name is, right? You're going to make a vegan devil food cake. What do you put in? And they say, I don't know, peanut butter. And you're like, exactly, peanut butter, right?
Was that your impersonation of a
Steve.
Stupid,
you don't know,
fat
you don't know. You don't know who Steve is.
Okay.
I nailed that. That was more Steve than Steve is.
Okay.
Steve is listening to this podcast going, oh, my God. He really got me. He really nailed my he really nailed my
wasn't
likeness.
Just the sonority, it was also the soul, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, I'm doing Steve now. I've got to stop. All right, so. Okay, so we're there, right? These are the three things. Now, they pluck all three of the mouse tails, which means they lose all the gifts. Oh, no. No gifts for them. So I put all the gifts in my piss prize pouch, okay? Mm-hmm. And they duct tape it closed, and they write on it, to Piff, love, whatever their name is, Steve, for example. Then I put that in the treasure chest, and I hand them a banana as a consolation prize, and I tape the key to the banana, and I say, if you look after the key, I'm going to give you a prize. Spoiler alert, it's the banana.
Ah.
Right? But they don't know that yet.
I see.
Okay? So... They go back to their seat. Then treasure chest goes up. It's up there the whole time. Okay? Everyone happy? Everyone on board. Then we play Dragon Princess Knight. Mm-hmm. We get to our princess. All of those stuff about royalty applies. We then do a magic trick. Now, this time, the card that they chose ends up in dog food. That's a magic. That's not like lucky. Mm-hmm. That's magic.
Right.
That's transubstantiation, right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Transubstantiation is turning one thing into another.
Exactly. So I changed the playing card into a playing card inside of dog food.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So then we do that. Princess gets the card. She leaves. Then what happens, I wonder? All right. Then I say, I've proven I'm magic.
You've proven you're lucky.
No, and no. I've explained the difference between luck and magic. Oh, and I'm very lucky because not only did I get the coin toss thing, but I won all the prizes. Okay, so I'm very lucky. Then, we do a trick that I hate, usually, except Michael Close framed it in a way that I love. The next thing I do is I say I need to find the bravest guy in the room. Okay, mm-hmm. Get four guys up. We vote for them.
Michael Close, by the way, is a genius.
Genius. Who is not returning my emails at the moment, but we'll move on. So we get four guys up. The audience vote for their favorite bravest one. Mm-hmm. That guy joins me on stage, and I say, we're going to do a magic trick, and I'm going to show you what it is before we even start. Let's roll the tape. And we start with a clip of a Polish TV presenter slamming her hand down on a metal spike,
mm-hmm.
that a magician slamming her hand down.
Right.
Okay. And I say, now listen, it may be that you think, oh, piff, come on, that's just some amateur getting the trick wrong. So then we show a video of David Blaine slamming his hand down.
Is that on video?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what he says? He slams his hand down and then he goes, damn it. What would you say at that point?
I once had a moment in the show where I jumped up and sat on a chest that had teller in it.
Right.
And there was a hasp there.
Ugh.
And I jumped up and the hasp gave away and all of my weight was now on my ball sack and I was sitting on it.
Ugh.
And so I had at the time 280 pounds on my ball sack between two pieces of wood. I also couldn't get off because to push forward put more weight on my ball sack, right?
Yeah.
And then, and this, the crew still talks about this in hushed tones, I said on stage, oh my goodness, I've injured myself. This is a man with his ball sack between two pieces of wood and 280 pounds on it.
Now you're quite happy to...
Oh my goodness, I've injured myself.
Why do you think you said that?
I was trying to be professional.
Oh. You didn't think professional is like, motherfucker, I just sat on my balls.
Motherfucker, I just sat on my balls is one kind of professional. Oh my goodness, I've injured myself.
What
is another?
What do you think I would say?
I don't know. What do you think you would say?
Motherfucker, I just sat on my balls.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I found that dealing with hecklers, the best way was just to start speaking and see what came out.
Uh-huh.
So I think that my response to things that happen is the same. And just speak whatever thought comes into my head. That's probably what's going to get me canceled.
Oh my goodness, I've injured myself.
Yes.
And Zeke will still become helpless with mirth if you say, oh my goodness, I've injured myself.
Yeah. Oh, did you have bruising?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I had Technicolor balls for a while.
Oh. How long did that last?
Longer than you'd like.
6 months?
No.
Okay. Because I fell off my treadmill and I had that scar for like on my knees. I had that for a good year.
How'd you fall off your treadmill?
Well, I was running and I closed my eyes.
Why?
I don't know, really. I just sometimes when I'm exercising, I close my eyes and it's never good. Never once been to my benefit. And so I opened my eyes when I hit the wall and was on the... And it was like the wall was right behind the treadmill. So I just went straight into the wall and fell down. And then it was like going over my knees.
Huh. And in 14 million years of evolution, you would develop a way to wrap your tongue around your knees.
Yeah, I would.
To protect yourself. I want to take a moment, Piff, We're going to get back to all of your problems, but I'll take a moment and talk about MasterClass, which is lifelong learning. MasterClass is tremendous. When you're a member of MasterClass, you get all the classes, all the lessons from instructors like Steve Martin,
Neil Gaiman.
And they are really, really good. Salman Rushdie, I think. Who have you been watching lately? Eddie Rich?
I want to revisit Thomas Keller. He has three classes that are great. I'm revisiting him because before I took those classes, I didn't know you were supposed to keep all your scrap for stock. And a coworker asked me how to make a soup this week. I was able to show him that.
Oh.
So you're making good vegetable stock now?
Correct.
And are you cooking much better?
I am.
And all because of MasterClass, is
yes.
that right? They have 11 categories, 180 plus instructors. Penn and Teller do the magic one, of yeah. course. And once you become a member, you get to use all of them. You don't have to, there's no add-on in-app expenses. You can play them any way you want. There's just audio versions if you want to listen in your car while you're driving. There's also, there's supplementary materials. You can download PDFs, and you can learn a lot of stuff. And what I always say is even the stuff that you aren't going to use, like being an astronaut, you learn stuff about life. Yeah,
I'm an astronaut, and here's the things that you can learn from me and apply to you. Yeah. If you're in space, that's that.
Well, MasterClass has all that stuff. And once you're a member, you're a member. And do not forget that as a listener to Penn Sunday School, you can get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/Penn.
Penn.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/Penn. That's masterclass.com/Penn. You wanted to do a little harmony there, and Rich wasn't with you, was he?
No, yeah.
So let's get back to your show, your so-called show.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, that is the truth. The show, which, by the way, I've put in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this story ends. So we do Smash and Stab, right?
Yeah.
But we use a sword,
mm-hmm.
a little like miniature sword,
yeah.
Which I call Excalibur,
mm-hmm.
and five bags. And I'm not going to do the trick at all because I'm not the one who said I was the bravest guy in the room.
Ah. That's a good turn.
That's a good turn.
That's a good turn, yeah.
Like, you think I want to risk my entire livelihood on some stupid magic trick that, like, everybody gets wrong without fail? Everybody has got it wrong? There's a look in your eyes. I get it. You said you were the bravest guy in the audience, but you're not the bravest guy in the room. And then we play this music from Dune. How do you say that? Dune?
Dune.
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 Dune?
Dune.
Am I saying it? Dune?
Yeah, Dune.
Dune?
Dune.
I have to say that because I want to say Dune.
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 Dune. That's how Steve would say it. Dune. So which is very funny. It's all over TikTok, this bit of music that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's where jokes come from now, TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's funny. So we use that. And then Francis comes out. My squire.
And how many times have you fired Francis?
He's got the best line about this. He says he's worked for me for 3 years over a period of 7.
You fire him all the time.
All the time. Well, he fires himself.
You've also fired him.
But because of things, I literally say to him, if you do this, you'll be fired. So, what he hasn't done is done something and we've had to fire him for it.
I see.
You know, I'm just like, look, you just can't do that because you'll get fired. Okay, he does it. Guess what, buddy? You're fired. So, but he got married and settled down. Now he's a very responsible and appreciative squire.
I see.
So,
you don't think he'll be fired again?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. So he comes out, and whichever bag the audience points to, he sits on.
Ah.
Okay. So we're down to 4 bags. But I get it. You're looking at this guy. I'm like, hang on a second. You're thinking, hey, I'm the bravest guy in the room, but I'm not the bravest person in the room. Jay comes out. Jay does the jump splits on another bag.
Sexy.
Sexy. 3 bags. And I look at them and go, hang on a minute, I know what you're thinking. Maybe the bravest guy in the room, but I'm not the bravest creature in the room. Mm-hmm. Piffles comes out. And I pretend like I'm going to slam him down on one of these swords. And then I berate the audience for imagining that I would, at this point in the show, slam Mr. Piffles down on the possibility of one of these swords. Mm-hmm. So then instead, I slam my hand down. Remember, I said I wouldn't, well, I did. Yeah, I slam my hand down on the sword, mainly because I know the trick works. So I feel pretty safe in that. Mm-hmm. And then the last two, the guy finally has to do it. He has to choose. It's a 50-50 shot. He does it. And then I take out the sword from the other bag and I knight him with it.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, there you go. Two good reasons to do that trick, mm-hmm. right? And knight him. Now he's a worthy opponent for me to fight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fight a peasant, am I? I'm a dragon.
Right.
Right? Here we go. We're going to do battle to the death. However, unfortunately, I've got a stomach condition. No guts. So the battle will not be a physical battle. Instead, it will be a battle of wits as we play Dungeons and Dragons.
I remember this convoluted, endless version of Dungeons and Dragons you did. You've changed it, I assume.
Nope. Nope. So I lose 90% of the audience. Boom, there they go. Yeah. Lost 90%. And then I say, if you like Dungeons & Dragons, stand up. And I'm 10% of the audience stands up. And then I say, well, guess what? I just catfished you. Because we're not going to play Dungeons & Dragons because you can't without a license, which is true. You can't play it publicly without a license. So instead, we're going to play a game I made up called Dragons and Dummies. Okay? I'm going to be the dragon. And I say to the guy, so what does that make you? And he says, the dummy. And I said, no. You're my opponent. Why would you have such a low opinion of yourself? Mm-hmm. Right? And I lose the other 10% of the people because they wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And then I said, we're playing the game I made up. So now I've got 0% again on my side. Mm-hmm. So now I go into a process where for 10 minutes, we just choose things. Mm-hmm. Now remember how long it's taken me to get to this point in the story.
Yeah.
Well, in the show, it's much worse.
Yeah.
Because it's like an hour and 10 minutes to get to this point.
Yeah.
Okay. So now in my head, I'm like, I'm going to bring it into land with a 20 minute thing about Dungeons and Dragons. So eventually they're going to think of a number between 1 and 150. Mm-hmm. Right. Now I needed a way to know what that number is. You have any thoughts on that?
They're going to think of it secretly.
Yeah, it could be any number.
Probably have it write it down and electronically transmit it backstage.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? The best way. The way we all love.
I don't like that way, but...
I said, what, would you have any other ways?
I would rewrite the bit to not have to do that.
Well, it's too late for that.
Because I would write a good bit. Go ahead.
Well, I think this whole story proves it's...
Okay.
That's where we got
into. That's just not a choice.
Right. There's not an option on the table right now.
I see.
You know, it's like you're going to have a gun to your head and it's going to be one of these guns.
Okay.
Which guns you want to choose. So I'm like, well, we have to justify them writing down a number, right?
I see.
And what better way to justify that than by getting to write down a lot of things about their character?
I see.
So now they play any one of four characters, right? It could be Gandalf. It could be Harry Potter. It could be Doctor Strange. These are all the heroes of magic. Mm-hmm. Or it could be Magic Mike. Okay, those are the four heroes.
And that's a big laugh on Magic Mike.
Big laugh, yeah. Then they've got the name, which is like the porn star name thing, where you first grew up, you name your first pet. Mm-hmm. Then you can name any weapon, and you can just name any weapon. Mm-hmm. Name a weapon.
Atomic bomb.
You can name most weapons. You can name any sort of Achilles heel. Imagine, it's a hero. It's got to have a weakness. Okay. Give the hero a weakness.
I would have to have a weakness?
No. Are you the hero?
No.
No. So give our hero a weakness.
Okay. I would say his throat.
Okay, great. Sore throat. Mm-hmm. Strep throat. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Sore throat or strep throat?
Strep.
Great. He's got a strep throat. Then, okay, so that's it, right?
Yeah.
Now you think, short, and by the way, every one of these attributes is chosen by members of the
attribute.
Audience. Attribute. What?
Attribute.
Attributes?
Attribute.
This is. I have to change my whole language now?
Yes.
I've started spelling things wrong. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you spell color?
C-O, I just sort of give up after that.
Okay, honor?
H-N-R.
Okay.
Yep, that's the new American way. Now I'm on board, I'm hoping to get things a little bit trimmer.
Okay.
Including myself. So.
Stop eating chicken. Go ahead.
So all the anyone who named something, like if you named like the weapon, you'd be on stage, right? Uh-huh. And you're innocently sitting on one of 16 chairs, mm-hmm. which have been casually arranged in a 4x4 grid.
Because we're going to go to the magic square that no one has ever found a way to do entertainingly.
So these people come up. You never guess what I do next. I get them to think of a number between 1 and 150.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I thought, you know what would be better than thinking of a number? Is if I find the 7 dice from Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, Christ. You're an idiot.
I know. Which, if you total their numbers, adds up to...
A number between, not one, number between 7
and 150. Yeah. And IQs are around 100, you know, 0 to 150.
There's no IQ of 100, of 0.
Well, there's no dice roll, is there, of 0? So no. Luckily I'm fine.
IQ of 7.
Right. To 150.
Who is the writer of this trick?
What's that?
IQ of 7 is the writer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god! And then I get 7 people from the audience to hold 1 dice each, which they get to take home with them.
One die each.
Well, you're right. One die. I'm not going to argue that point. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Along with the woodpecker. And then the guy, the hero, remember him from 24 minutes ago?
Yeah.
He adds it up on a calculator to get his number. He writes down that number, and then I explain the game. The game is this. I, Piff the Mad Dragon, have to guess the exact IQ, and I get 16 guesses. If I guess it, I win. If not, I die.
Okay.
Okay? How am I going to guess it?
By doing all numbers that are going to add up in every way.
No. How am I going to guess it?
I don't know.
This is weirdly the bit people love.
Okay.
I bring out a 150-sided die.
Mm-hmm.
A die that I had built, because there are no 150-sided die.
How big is it?
It's this big. It's about the size of a grapefruit.
So still no one can really see it.
No.
They come to see a live show and they don't see Jack.
Most of our show is like on the screen. So they come to watch a TV show and look at a dragon occasionally.
Okay.
Okay. So I roll the dice, and when you roll
a die.
The die, again, not going to argue. You're right. 100%. Roll this die. And there's absolutely no way to tell which way up it is.
Right.
Because it's 150 sides.
Right.
Right? Completely pointless.
And what is the name for a 150-sided object?
I'm going to pump that question to Ready.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a...
I'll pass it off to the chat.
I don't know.
Centesinquadexatron?
I just know that it takes 12 seconds to roll a 6-sided die, and it takes 36 years... to roll 150-sided die. So now I roll the die, right? And I miss calling it, but it makes sense that I miss calling it because I'm like, oh, it's 7. No, wait, it's 14. No, wait, it's 32. So I get all these 16 numbers called out, okay?
The chat didn't answer, so I'm going with sphere.
Yeah. Ready is correct, right? So I die. Now... What another good bit in this trick? So we've had 2 good bits in the last hour and a half. Me dying on stage, mm-hmm. get to do a good death sequence. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you do a full death.
Yeah, yeah. And I say just before I die,
with a lot of histrionics.
Yeah, I said you got to tell me what was your IQ? They say
132.
I leap from the stage, from the floor, and I go 132. That's my lucky number. Remember, I'm the luckiest dragon alive. Mm-hmm. And the audience goes, what? And I go, it's my lucky number. And they go, what? And I'm like, do you think I would have brought you to this point in the show without multiple levels of proof? And I say, do you remember earlier the treasure chest? And we lower it down and we take out the check. And it's a check for every single dollar I've earned since America's Got Talent. Minus costs.
And it comes out to $132.
Boom! Mm-hmm. The next thing is an action figure from the game Dragons and Dummies. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens to be a Lego model of whatever they said, say Gandalf, holding whatever weapon they said.
Atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb. And on the back, it says, warning. What would it say with strep throat? Warning. Oh, I don't know what it would say for strep throat.
This character is very contagious.
This character gets strep throat easily or something. Yeah. And that would be a lame version.
Yeah.
And then it also has a price on it, $132. Then we take out the recipe for the cake, and all the way through the show, princesses and this. And before, what we were doing is we had every name, every person who was on stage was on the scroll. No one could keep up with it. But this, because every ingredient is stupid, every ingredient gets its own, like, oh my God. So the cake is...
Whose idea was the cake recipe?
Yours. It was yours, yeah. And it's so good. It's also framed the perfect way for a recipe. You know, because it's on a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So we just go, so it's like a tall, thin thing, like exactly like a recipe would be.
Right.
It's perfect.
You don't have to explain this idea to me.
Right. Okay. I'm not explaining to you. I'm talking for the benefit of others at the moment.
Okay.
So it's just filling them in on why it's such a good idea.
Good.
Your idea.
Yeah.
Was so good. Okay. And at the bottom of the cake, it says, serves 132.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, P.S. do the math. And I'm like, what? Because there's one more twist that is coming up, which you haven't seen coming yet.
I have.
You haven't?
I have.
You haven't?
I have.
What do you think the twist is?
Magic square. No. All the numbers add up in every...
No, yeah. That's not the twist yet.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm going to say, oh, the numbers. So I get the guy with the calculator, and I say, add up the first row. And he adds it up, and it comes to like 432. I'm like, I thought all the numbers were going to add up, but that's fine. And then I look and I go, wait a second. That's a princess on the front row. You know what princesses do to knights? They ruin them. So you're going to subtract her number. So now I've taken a magic square, which you can barely follow, right?
Right.
But when you do it, you sort of go, okay, 16 plus 39 plus 46 plus 87, there's probably around 200, right? Now I've got rid of that. So now it's just here are four random numbers that could be anything, for all you know, right? And guess what? They all add up. So they all add up, they all add up, they all add up. All these different ways of adding up. And then I say, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. And then I say, you four corners, stand up. And I read the numbers into Siri, because you can do math on Siri. You can say, hey, Siri, what's 16 plus 32 plus 21 plus 19?
That's giving away the method. Go ahead.
So now Siri is like, it's 32. And then I get those four people to leave stage. And then I get the two on the sides. Oh, Siri, what's the number? It's 32. 132. Yeah. Then the two people. And then Siri goes, we get it, Piff, because we actually program Siri. And it's like this fancy QLab thing where it's not really Siri coming out of the phone. It's Siri coming from backstage. And Siri goes, we get it, Piff. It's 132. And the last one, Siri goes, oh, for the love of God, it's 132, you douchebag. Thus encapsulating every single member of the audience's thoughts perfectly.
So it's a mind-reading trick.
It's a mind-reading trick. So they leave, and then the guy left over leaves, and I go, thank you very much, good night. Last time I did it was an hour and 50 minutes.
The whole show?
The whole show.
Or just the Magic Square?
The Magic Square was a good 40 minutes.
Oh, Christ.
Now, I'm going into this, and here's the other thing about this, right, is that it's taken me a long time to make it, to pull it off flawlessly.
Who are your really, really, really good friends in the world, Piff?
I think we're finding out that we don't have them.
Who are your friends, Piff?
You.
Okay. Who else?
Other people, like my friend Joey.
Okay. Did you go to Joey and ask him if this whole show would work that well for you? Did you come to me and ask me?
Have you ever been writing a book and you're like, oh, this is going to be so good when it's finished?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't actually have that happen, but okay, let's pretend.
You're coming, really?
Yeah.
You don't start something and think this is going to be good when it's finished?
I can probably do okay. That's probably as good as you're going to get from me.
It's near enough.
Yeah.
You can't be there. You have to have some degree of realism here.
Yeah.
You have to be like, hang on a second, Penn and Teller just so happen to be the greatest magicians of all time.
Well, we are that, yeah.
So therefore, if I'm going to work on a bit or a book, mm-hmm. it's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay is what I'll give you, but go ahead.
You might think okay, but underneath that secretly you're thinking, this is going to be really good.
Oh, yeah, I might think that. You're right.
Yeah, right. Right? You might admit to going, oh, it's going to be okay. I agree with you on that. But uh-huh. secretly underneath, you're like,
I can see that, yeah.
Tempered with a, I hope people don't eviscerate me for this.
Yeah.
Well, secretly, I was like, this is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. Even though people were like, are you sure? And I'm like, no, things are going to be okay. But secretly, I was like, I'm going to solve this problem. I'm gonna solve the magic square.
Yeah, which no one's ever done.
Which no one's ever done. This is why I'm going to do it and why it's going to be so good. Uh-huh. As that people will talk about my magic square routine for generations. Mm-hmm. This will become the gold standard.
Why are you doing the magic square? Who do you think you are? Piff? He's the only one who's done it great.
The only one who's done this. You think you can be up with your magic square routine now that Piff the Magic Dragon has performed the greatest magic square routine of all time?
I think all of us should give up on the magic square. There's one person that has it.
Knocked it out of the park.
There's Johnny Thompson's egg bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. There's Piff's magic square.
Piff's magic square.
No one else can do the egg bag.
No. No one else can do the square.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this.
We should actually tell people that the magic square is a common magic trick.
Very common.
That people always die with.
Yeah. And it's one of those, clearly it's one of those things that you go into going, no, they're going to love this.
Yeah.
So I thought.
But the corners add up too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also I changed it because I was doing it with people and the people were standing up with their signs.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, isn't that great staging? Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make this play big? Doesn't this illustrate this concept? Visually,
yeah.
On
the
stage.
Only problem is it illustrates it beautifully. When you first told me that, I loved it, but it illustrates something that no one wants to see,
which I made complicated. But well, because if you want any number between 0 and 150 or 750, you have to use negative numbers. Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
And also, we wanted it to be because you'd be an idiot to be guessing. Normally, magic squares. It's like numbers 1 through 12 and then 4 very large numbers for no reason.
Right.
And you'd have to be very stupid to guess like that. Mm-hmm. So I found this incredible math guy who made it so the squares had dispersed values mm-hmm. between 0 and 150 all across the things. So every guess was like in a totally different range.
Mm-hmm. Good. Still a shitty trick.
Oh, the whole show.
So what happened to this show?
Well, so I finally did it without fucking it up or having a big problem or not having a trick, you know, not having like one of the I say at the end I'm the luckiest dragon, but I don't prove that at the beginning, you know, like the coin toss got me there. That was like the final what do you call it, wheel on the car.
Sure
whatever,
the taper on the comedy turd.
Yeah, the whatever it is, the final wood on the pecker.
What of the pecker?
Right. And I get it there, right? And I'm just going into the show and I text my friends, Joey. Not you, thank, because maybe there's something part of my head which is like, you're about to go on and you don't have any other material. I text someone, I'm like, hey guys, I'd just like to say thank you for coming on this journey with me. Because now that we've got this coin toss in there, this is the greatest magic square routine of all time. Mm-hmm. It's killer, and this whole show is something that I'm very proud of and could probably serve as my next special. So then I went on to a Friday night casino crowd in a Snoqualmie, which I love. Amazing, great casino. Amazing and great casino. Look after us very well.
Where is it?
Seattle.
Okay, I think we played there.
And I start doing this show and they love it. They love the coin toss. They're like, there's no way that's the guy. And that was the guy. And they love all of the tricks. They're like, oh my God, that is magic. That's clearly a demonstration of transubstantiation versus just luck. They like all the... Oh, and the Dragon Princess Knight thing, I added a trick in there where I predicted her guesses all the way through.
Yep.
Okay, loved that. And they loved the smash and stab. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Well, Jade doing the split is nice enough.
Yeah. Then I start doing this thing. Like I say, lose 90% of the room. Then I lose the other 10%. And for 40 minutes, I'm just battering them with, if not process, math. Is it process? No, it must be math. It's like that joke. If you're not laughing, then it's a magic trick. No, if I'm not, if you're not doing something, you must be adding something up. But they still, they love the treasure chest reveals.
The cake recipe.
Yeah. And then they, and then we do a meet and greet for them. And almost every single one of them is like, God, we love that show. Until you did that magic score. Every single, I mean, just immediate feedback from the audience. Just like, why did you, just like kind of pleading. Not like angry, just upset. Just why did you do that?
Just sad.
Just sad that you did it and you ruined what would have been. Because we were an hour and 10 in, I could have finished with one of them. I could do that card changing trick I did on Flawless originally. They would have loved it. We could have been out of there in 75 minutes.
And with everybody happy.
Everybody happy. So I came off stage. And I remember hearing about this guy who, I don't know who it was, but somebody was working with him, maybe at a magic convention. And it was the last time this very famous magician did that act, right? That was it. This was their retirement performance. Mm-hmm. Imagine the last time Johnny does the doves, right?
Yep.
He comes off stage and he just starts taking out the holders and throwing them in the trash. Mm-hmm. You know, all of them and like the clips and the special gimmicks. Just from the suit, throws them in the trash, packs up his suit, leaves. Never to be doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished that gig in Seattle and I just took the chalks and I threw them in the trash can. I took the chalkboards and I threw them in the trash can. I took the Q-Lab that I'd spent probably like 200 hours on, just like tossed it away. Because remember for a bit, we were like, because I programmed this whole thing where it would display the magic square. And it had all these graphics and everything. And we were like, oh, that probably means the audience think you do it with computers.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said, aren't you just putting your method up on the screen?
Yeah, so I got rid of that and it wasn't enough for them. So I'm very depressed now. I've got no touring show, and I've got a tour to do.
Well, you just gave the answer to the problem in the question of the problem.
Which is?
Get out at 70 minutes.
Yeah, but then it doesn't really make sense.
Doing a really good show that people love doesn't make sense? The recipe comes down. That's your punchline. You've summed up the whole show. It's what Matt Franco does. It's what David Copperfield does. And they get away with it. It's something I wouldn't do with a fucking gun to my head. But Matt Franco and David Copperfield do it.
Well, they just bring it down and then they say...
That's their punchline. We described the whole show that happened tonight.
Right.
That's the way both of them do it. Both professionals. Both with theaters named after them.
We have got a... I haven't got a theater named after me.
No, they both do.
No, I know, but I don't. Maybe that's the difference. But we have some tour dates coming up.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Do them.
We're doing... Oh, we're not doing them. But we're ending with the sandwich trick.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty great trick.
That's a good trick.
And we're in the middle of the show. We're doing the coin toss.
Did you say sandwich?
No.
No, that's what you should be saying if you're
sandwich?
American.
What?
Sandwich with an M. Sandwich.
Hey, buddy. Sandwich.
Hey, buddy, give me a sandwich.
Hey, buddy, give me a sandwich.
Pretty good. You're good. You're going to be American.
Yeah. I'm going to be American as blueberry pie before you know it. So.
Apple.
Bless you. So we're doing the coin toss in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got a question.
Sure.
Have you ever eliminated the... Have you ever gone... If you're at the balcony, do heads. If you're at the stalls, do tails.
Yeah.
Oh, you do that?
Yeah.
Good, because I need to do that. Otherwise, we'll be here a week, and I won't know what's going on.
Remember the way math works, that if you're setting it up right, a toss eliminates half the people.
Every time.
Every time, yeah.
Right.
So the difference between 4,000 and 2,000 would be theoretically one toss.
Right.
Are you playing places at 4,000?
No.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm playing places with a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be okay.
Yeah. The only thing I have real trouble with is if you can't see certain people in right. the audience, makes it very hard to do the trick.
Right. I have that flashlight for that.
Still not hard. It's still difficult. Make sure you have house lights up in the balcony.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but the balcony's going to be gone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking as the luckiest dragon alive. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that anyone on the balcony will ever win this game.
I see. Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah.
So there you go, Piff, your tale of woe, and we've all solved it, right?
No.
What do you mean?
We've got nothing.
You've got the sandwich at the end.
I got the sandwich. I got that. What else do I have?
You've got all the other tricks. You don't need to have it all add up to someone's IQ. You don't need to do that. Cut it.
It's all dead. It's all dead to me.
Yeah, cut it. You'll be fine. And you know what else you finished?
What's that?
And it's interesting because you took 40 minutes of the magic square
yeah.
that destroyed your live show. And yeah. use describing the 40 minutes of the show
yeah.
to destroy this podcast.
Yeah.
So it does double duty, really.
Well, there you go. I didn't want to spare you
right.
the pain and suffering
right.
that I've inflicted in my... Because I've been doing this show for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? 2 years
yeah.
of trying to perfect this. So I haven't even been getting it good for 2 years.
Yeah,
I finally did it correctly and realized how much they hated it. And I thought, I'm going to come on this podcast and bury it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if I get desperate for material, this will be good because I can listen to the podcast and remember how I did it.
Right. So also people that listen to this podcast and go to your show, which is a non-zero number, if you start into the magic square, they'll all stand up at once and yell, "No, Piff, rethink it now on the fly."
There was a thing I said when Donnelly was opening for us
mm-hmm.
on Ice Cream Social. I implored his listeners to bring mackerel
mm-hmm.
To the show and throw them at him.
Mm-hmm.
And people did. And venues got very upset at mm-hmm. dead mackerel being littered.
They won't be upset at people standing up and saying, "Piff, don't do the magic square."
What if they stood up and said, "Piff, would you rather we had a mackerel?"
Even better. But you know what, Piff? I got to tell you, I'm tired from walking to the AIDS walk. So that was Penn Sunday School, brought to you by Masterclass. And you can now go to masterclass.com/Penn and get 15% off at masterclass.com/Penn. Lifelong learning. Give it a try. Masterclass.com/Penn. That was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha cha cha.
And to our listening.
So you don't think naked. I just need to work it in more?
I don't think so, Penn.
I don't think so either.
I think we fail. We all fail.
Yeah, I fail.
You fail. That's all.
That's
I fail. I did tricks that failed for months and months and months.
Oh, and then you just have to go, that's it.
And just fail.
On our next coffee, we have to figure out the tricks that will work.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
That's easy, I got a ton of them.
I can't have caffeine anymore either.
No caffeine. Stop that.
I like the decaf. We should go back to those decaf espressos.
At Madhouse.
At Madhouse, that
yeah,
was
we
good.
Love those.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a sparkling water on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Decaf espresso. You know we love you. And hey, Matt Donnelly, getting ready to thank?
Big thanks to the people supporting us at a higher tier on Penn's Patreon. Thank you so much. Placida Scott, Damian Martin, Garth Reynolds, Adam Luce read random and he loved it, Timo Tihoff, Mark Pickenheim, Kirk Barrett, Adam Berzins, Carlos Alvarez, Michael Cornwall, Rob Allegar, Ross Devereaux, Ryan Matthews, Jeff Bacher, Michael Torbay, Ilan Lee, Jeff Loomis, Jacob McCauley, Walk This Way, Nicole Martin, Music Man, Keith Corning, no thank you, Daddy, Rachel Hawkins, Jake Schneider, Pete Hoke, Kelly McCauley, Corey Mitchell, Robin Garnett, Up upturncoach.com. Turn up your profit and not your budget. Love, Julie Lynn and Tom. Obi Demetrian Jr., Jeremy R22, Winter Rierkowski, Kristen Klinik, Hadi Wambi, Michael Cohen, Quiet Numbskulls, I'm Broadcasting, Dr. Scooplittle, Jeremiah Jenkins. If I had showed up on time, I would have plugged my shows at MindNoodler.com. Alexander Hoffman, Danny Olwine, Stephen Volcano, Jim the Magician Who, Scooped Mids, and Paul McBride. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.